I'd like to call us back into order for the Health and Social Services Committee. This day, January 22nd, we have just returned from our recess. We do have a quorum. We'll establish that in just a moment, but the next thing on our agenda is prayer. I'm asking Ms. Jody Rebar to render our afternoon prayer.
Thank you, Chairman. Again, Lord, I come to you this day asking for your strength and guidance to make good decisions. I ask that you bless and be with all our congressional members, all our folks in judicial, our chief assistant chief, and all of our staff, and specifically all of our people, Lord. Be with all of our Osages near and far away. I ask all these blessings and spiritual blessings for everybody. I ask this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jody. Roll call, please, for our quorum.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox? Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Speaker Walker? Congressman Mason?
Present. And we do have a quorum. Going on to number four, approval of minutes. If you look at the minutes of December the 20th, giving you a few minutes, please, to review the minutes if there's any corrections, deletions, burning, whatever, let me know, please.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion been made to approve the minutes, and I have a second. Discussion, hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Minutes are approved. Going on to number five is a continuation of our social services and elder care programs, kind of a status report for all those listening as well as this committee, and getting it from executive side and our staff side and invited. You ladies, please join us up here at the big table and give us a little rundown, or continue with your rundown and status report of what we have for our elder cares, our caregivers, our folks either at the social services side or executive side, and just where are we today with our reports. And we have it on the screen, and I know folks listening can't see it, but we assure you we have some information here. But before we go any further, in opening up our conversation, I'm going to ask our two guests to please identify themselves and what your staff positions might be, or executive positions for our listening audience. Ms. Rebar, go first.
My name is Jody Rebar, and I'm the Deputy Director of Operations.
My name is LaDonna Shadlow. I'm the Interim Director of Osage Nation Social Services.
All right, thank you so much. LaDonna, we left off last meeting with you, and we ran out of time, and it was a good report, and we could have had more time, but here we are today, so we're just going to kind of continue with what we have. You might give us a little bit of review, because I've slept since then, about maybe a quick overview of 1, 2, and 3, and take us on up to where we are.
Thank you. We did talk about some of the services that my department, Osage Nation Social Services, offers to elders. The way an elder is defined, and in the code, it's actually defined as a vulnerable adult. So I included that, the Adult Protective Services side, because those services are often offered specifically to elders, even though they can apply to anyone 18 and over who's identified as vulnerable. Then we also talked about individual Indian money account case management and services that are offered through that program. And I believe that those are the two slides that we made it through. We talked a lot about Medicare, and we did discuss the health benefit card and the Medicare supplement that's offered in lieu of that. I think we spent a lot of time talking about that. And again, I just personally want to say that I think that that is an amazing program. And the fact that the nation offers that as an option for those who it might benefit, I just can't say enough about how great I think that is.
Well, thank you. I'm appreciating once again your sharing with us and for our folks listening in, because all of the things that you're able to share with us, not only for our ears, but it's for the folks that are listening in, and we think those elders or the caregivers of those folks that love our old people, and what can we do for them, comes back to your division, the departments, and I think up at with the clinic, and we'll get their status reported later. And so just, you have the floor, so please continue.
Okay, so the rest of the presentation, I requested input from other departments regarding services that they may offer that were specific to elders, like we had talked, and that's what you had requested. So another program that is operated by the nation is the CHR program, which stands for Community Health Representative. That program provides a great deal of assistance to elders in Osage County. It helps with medication management. They do home visits. They provide transportation to appointments. Because of where a lot of our elders live, many of their appointments for specialists, such as, you know, heart appointments, diabetes appointments, a lot of those providers are in more metro areas, at least more metro than, you know, where we are here. And that can be challenging for a lot of people to get to those appointments. And without this program, there are a lot of people that just may not be able to get there. So I'm very thankful that they're here. Our department refers to them a lot. They make referrals to our department pretty frequently. And they not only provide transportation for medical appointments, but they may be the only social contact that person might have, you know, for the whole week. I've had a lot of clients who have been, you know, excited that they had an appointment coming up just because they were going to get out of the house, they were going to be able to maybe stop on the way back and get lunch, or just have human contact, and that's really important. So, next, again, we talked about this last month, but Constituent Services offers, of course, the health benefit card, and that is not just for elders, but for any Osage Nation member who applies for it. But I know a lot of elders that I talk with are not always aware of the F plan, which is the Medicare supplement that's offered in lieu of the health benefit card, if chosen. And not only the F plan, but Part D coverage, which pays for your medication, that's a benefit that's paid for if you choose to take that in lieu of the health benefit card. And the savings that offers for elders 65 and over who are on Medicare is amazing. And the F plan is basically the Cadillac of Medicare supplements. And also, if the member is married to a non-Osage, then their spouse is also able to take advantage of this plan. They just have to pay the premium, but they get the reduced rate that Osage members, they get the group rate, which is a rate that they may not qualify for otherwise. So that's very beneficial.
Stop there and just
to the
repeat
household.
That whole couple of sentences.
Okay, I'm sorry. It can be very, very confusing.
Well,
Medicare has so many plans and letters, and if this, then that, and it can be really confusing. And And there is staff at the Wajaji Health Clinic that is able to help navigate that, and I've always been very thankful for that as well.
May I have the telephone number for our listening audience for them to call that number? Have you got the number up there?
The number for the clinic?
Call it, that's not it.
Yeah.
It's 918-287-9300.
Say that once again.
918-287-9300.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Could you repeat what you said about the spouse? I think that's what he was... I think that's where our chair was headed with that, repeat those last few sentences.
Yeah, if you're...
Okay, unless that has changed and I'm not aware of it. Last year, if a member took the Medicare supplement and the drug coverage in lieu of the health benefit card, their spouse was also eligible to sign up for that coverage at the reduced group rate that the member receives. Now, the member's premium is paid, of course, by the nation, and the spouse would have to pay their own premium, but it's still a savings of, I mean, it could be, because the rates are based on your age. So if a member signs up at 80 for a Medicare supplement, their premium is probably going to be not something that they can afford often. But if they sign up at that age with this plan, the group rate, they're allowed the group rate, which is a significant savings.
Thank you.
Did that make more sense? Sometimes I start rambling when I start talking about Medicare.
I interrupt you. Please continue. We're still on constituent services.
Then, of course, also constituent services offers the burial assistance program, and we refer to that department a lot as well.
Yeah, especially for our elders. Give us a little... Can you share a little bit about the burial program? What is it that, should one of our elders pass, what happens?
Well, then their family member or the funeral home that's chosen, of course, then they would contact constituent services to get help with the paperwork. One thing that I see with a lot of my clients or referrals that I receive, some people are not aware that they need to apply for membership. There's a little confusion about what, if I have a CDIB that, you know, says I'm Osage, then I'm Osage. Well, I've come across several referrals where membership was never applied for, and they weren't aware that they needed to do that. So,
okay.
I thought that was important to stress that you do have to apply separately for membership.
Well, while we're on there, just as a matter of those that might be listening, any caregivers or elders or family members, would you have the number of constituent services, telephone number? Jody, would you have that, please?
It's area code 918-287-5555.
Okay. That'll get you there.
Yes, sir.
Switchboard. Okay.
You would think I would remember that because I transfer there pretty frequently.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next program that I included in the presentation is our Osage Nation Elder Nutrition Program. This too is, I really can't say enough about the benefit. I have plenty of clients who I know might not receive a hot meal every day if it were not delivered by our Elder Nutrition Program, and I'm very thankful for them. They provide a social outlet for elders who are able to get to the facility, but I believe even more importantly, they provide a social contact and a hot meal for many elders who are homebound and unable to get to the facility at all because they can't leave their home. We coordinate with them for World Elder Abuse Awareness Day events. Both elder nutrition sites in Pawhuska and in Fairfax have elder honoree events. I know that the Pawhuska site provides limited transportation for elders who live in a senior circle in Pawhuska, and I can't say enough about the staff at Elder Nutrition and all they do for the elders that live in this community. They also have planned outings. Sometimes they take a group to the Tulsa State Fair, things like that throughout the year, and those are planned, and they often have fundraisers for those, and people look forward to that. But I'm very thankful for the meal delivery program and refer to them a lot.
Questions?
And I do know their phone number if you need it.
What is their phone number?
Their phone number is 918-287-5454.
5454. Thank you. Mr. Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think during the last session we were talking about the Pawhuska Title VI getting a vehicle. Did they get their vehicle?
Yes, sir.
Tell us what kind of vehicle that was, Jody.
I don't know the specifics of the model, but they did receive one, and they received it rather quickly, right after session. So
okay,
they are up and running.
Well, good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That generates another question in the back of my mind. And it seemed like we're talking about shuttle service, some kind of shuttle service from senior citizens to Pawhuska's. Now I get to thinking, how do we expand that and have shuttle service for seniors in Fairfax or the region? And what does that take? Obviously another vehicle or two and drivers and all of that to get that done. But that would be an advantage on, I think, just to be able to pick up our elders and get them to wherever they need to go. And we've talked about that before. Even if I know some of the tribes will pick up there's a bus, and they all get on the bus and they go to Walmart, you know, and they shop all night and then bring them back. Mm-hmm. And they get to go and get out, those kind of things. Or they jump on the bus and they end up in Grand Canyon or Washington, D.C., the old elders. And I'm talking about other tribes that have these big, nice buses. But and the elders, they enjoy that. When they're on there, they get to speak their language and they get, you know, it's all a kind of a cultural kind of thing, too. And of course, conversations that arise between the elders, there's all kinds of stories that start at the front of the trip but end up differently at the end of the trip. But they're all very exciting, and the memories are there most of the time, and I'm one of them that likes to do that. So anyways, getting back to our program and your presentation, thank you very much, because we just left off with shuttle systems possibly.
Let's see. So the next program that I received information from regarding services that are specific or can apply to elders was financial assistance. And of course, Osage Nation Financial Assistance provides crisis assistance. This is available to any Osage Nation member nationwide. And the policy is on their website, and it can be a qualifying crisis. You would have to contact, of course, that department to determine what qualifies as a crisis, but some people may be unaware that that is available. They also offer energy assistance, and this is not just available to elders, but to any low-income Native American, not only Osages, but low-income Native Americans living within the Osage Nation boundaries.
Again, to apply for this kind of assistance, they would need to call
financial assistance, and I believe their number is 918-287-5325. Yes, I was going to say 5335, but that is our number, so.
Stable.
The 5555 number is like a main switchboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's always easy to reach, and they'll transfer them to wherever they need to go.
Okay, and again, for those that are listening perhaps out of state right now, and some may be, this says nationwide, and they certainly need to contact back here in Pawhuska to see about qualifying and getting assistance in those areas. Thank you.
So next is Osage Nation Senior Housing. And earlier when we were talking about elder nutrition, I mentioned Senior Circle. And that is the senior housing that's offered through the Osage Nation Housing Department. Those are units that are handicap accessible, and maintenance is provided, so people don't have to worry about mowing the lawn or fixing something when, you know, when it gets broken. That takes a lot of worry away for the elders that live there. This is also income-based housing, and so it can possibly be subsidized depending on the elder's income. And the housing department also offers emergency home rehabilitation as well as full home rehabilitation through the NAHASDA program. Those applications are available on the website, osagenation-nsn.gov. And I am not positive of the housing department's number, but again, you can always call
918-287-5310.
That's right. Yeah, I figured when you said it, I would remember it. Because again, I refer to that department a lot as well. Wajaji Health Clinic also offers the public health nursing program. And these are some of the things that the director of that program provided me that they offer to elders. So I can't see that very well. I'm going to use my copy here. They offer chair exercise classes. Those are specifically designed for elders. They're offered several times a year. It's usually offered on an ongoing basis, and it's a 12-week class. The public health nursing and CHR programs have a joint effort where they plant and maintain the elder greenhouse in the senior housing site that we were discussing earlier in Pawhuska. Then they grow vegetables, and that works to provide fresh fruits and vegetables to the elders who live in senior housing. They also provide produce to elders that come to the sites for their meals. There's an earth garden where other vegetables are grown during the summer. The public health nursing program is teaching the community health representative program to can the vegetables. They have classes for that. And other programs are offered by public health nursing department, and they're open to all Native Americans who live in Osage County. And these are things such as the grow, gather, and hunt classes. And those are offered at various sites such as Pawhuska, Gray Horse, Pominy. Of course, they have tobacco cessation classes, and they have a diabetes prevention program. And you can reach the public health nurse through the Wajaji Health Center, and that number again is 918-287-9300. So I did put, we talked about identifying needs, and so I put a few slides together outlining needs that have been identified either by the other programs who responded or just by our experience with referrals that we've received on elders in the community, and I've outlined some of those here. Respite vouchers for care. We have a lot of people providing 24-hour care, and of course, that's a big responsibility, you know. And respite vouchers are offered through a lot of agencies in the Tulsa area. That's who we usually refer to. They do tend to have a long waiting list because there are only so many respite providers available. Assisted living is a need that we see pretty frequently. Someone who may not be able to live independently without assistance, but maybe they don't have access to a caregiver. We also see a need for legal assistance, such as estate planning. We get a lot of legal questions, and of course we can't give legal advice because we are not attorneys. And we do provide referrals for things like that, but oftentimes that's not something that the client can afford. There are limited resources for low-cost legal assistance, but that's often, again, that often comes with the waiting list. And the final bullet discusses assistance with navigating Social Security and Medicare. And like we've talked last month and today, that can be really complicated and overwhelming. And I know that for a lot of clients that I've worked with, not only in this capacity, but even before I came to work for the Osage Nation, sometimes people just, you know, don't want to mess with that. It's too overwhelming. It's too confusing. But it is something that you do have to face. You have to make decisions, and assistance with that is something that is needed. And I'm very thankful that we have staff at the health clinic that is able to help navigate that, because it is really confusing. Any questions?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to go to the top bullet on the respite voucher. So can you just give a little bit of a more explanation about a respite voucher, and then would not qualify for one, and then if insurance does or does not allow respite care, and then what types of facilities? And the only reason I'm asking is because I haven't worked in the hospital in quite some time, and I've never actually held a position as a nurse in a nursing home, but I am aware of patients that did come in when I did work there and came in just for respite care only. Now, the hospital, of course, had to have a diagnosis that they could be under, mm-hmm. Which that particular patient or the ones did. But I do know that I did know at times that the nursing homes were able to provide respite care. And so I was just wondering, because you mentioned a long waiting list. So that's a lot. But if you could just kind of explain what the respite voucher is and what respite care is.
Well, respite care is, it's basically a break for the caregiver. Someone who requires 24-hour care would qualify for a respite voucher from a provider, or if their insurance, if Medicare covers it, and if they meet the eligibility requirements, they would qualify for a respite in a facility. And that's, again, if they're willing to go to a facility for that respite, and that could be a period of a week to 2 weeks. Typically, the respite vouchers that are one of the main agencies that I refer to right now is Oxford Healthcare. They provide respite vouchers, but those are for 4 to 6 hours, maybe once a month, twice a month. They're basically just for a quick break for the caregiver. Maybe they have their own healthcare appointment that they need to go to, or they have errands that they need to run, or it could be anything. Maybe they just want to go to a movie, you know. But that's who I refer to pretty frequently for clients who either don't have Medicare or who are not willing to go to a facility for respite care. Did I answer all your questions? I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'd like to just share an experience or two. So I'm a participant in that as a caregiver. My wife is of another tribe. That tribe that she's in, the tribe itself provides respite care, and they get federally funded. So many hours, a certain amount per hour, a person can get to allow me a break to come up here and sit in Congress and do what I do here. So somebody's watching her even as we speak, and they get paid to care for her. And when that federal dollar is used up, then that particular tribe that she belongs to covers additional with tribal money to take care of that tribal member. And so to apply for that, I had to go back through her tribe because she's the one that's actually the receiver of it, that care. And then we're able to select anybody we want to come into our residence that we trust that can come and take care of her or sit with her or do whatever caregivers do. And many of us at this table know what that is, and people listening, same way. But perhaps that is a very important need I see for the Osages, wherever they may be, to have that kind of care. We've all taken care of our elders and our parents and grandparents. We've done that before. Many people out there have done that. And we know that it can be consuming if you are that caregiver. It can be consuming, and you need a break once in a while. I'm the first one to say that. And those that are on the other end, they can say, yeah, you need a break so you can take care of me better. Go take a break. And then somebody else can come in and for a while. But that's what that, to me, is that program is all about. And that perhaps is a need I see that we might have here in the Osage. And that's something we might be able to meet later on in the future, along with many other needs that we're identifying at this time. I know the health people are sitting here and have past experiences in the health world in their careers, previous careers. They have a lot of observations to share too. And that's why we have this health committee. I'm glad the executive is here, because we're all in the same team to take care of our elders, wherever they may be. And we want to be able to do the best that we can and find out what is it that they need? What does that elder need in Portland, Oregon, or Anaheim, California, or Indianapolis, Indiana? What does that elder need? What does that caregiver need? How can we assist that person? So they can't get everything that we have here within the boundaries of the nation, but outside of the nation. How can we assist? What are their needs? And not all of the elders, and I know many, they don't have a computer. If they do, they don't use it. They just don't go to www computer whatever and able to use that. Some do, and very efficient. Others prefer just to read it in the newspaper or a letter or a telephone call or listen to us on this, if they are indeed tuned in with us. So whoever is listening, you know, pass the word to those that may not be listening that need to hear this. Thank you. That's all. Okay, yeah, members, we maybe have generated some thoughts, opinions. We've got a little bit more time. I believe we have 1 hour, do we have it today? So we have maybe 10, 12 minutes of Q&A.
Mr. Chair, I had a question.
Sure.
You mentioned the respite that your wife receives and that you get to participate in also. Did you say that there is some federal funding?
Yes. It's Title VI. It's Title VI money.
Okay.
That they use to operate that. And I'm talking about Muskogee Creek, the Muskogee Creek tribe. And when that particular block of money and time is used, then the Muskogee Creek Nation picks it up, and I'm able to continue with the program. And they pay the worker. They send them the check. I don't get it. They send it to them. I turn in time sheets.
and their hours every 2 weeks, and how much this person gets, how many hours they put per hour. We already established that, and they get, the nation sends them a check. Yeah, I don't see it. And it's a functioning component for us, because we, my wife and I have selected somebody who we're both very, we trust very much, and that we do know, and they know us, and it works out fine for us at this point. So it's not a stranger coming in, but somebody who knows what we like to eat, all of those kind of things, and can take care of my wife quite well when I'm not there. But that's Title VI money. Committee? Mr. Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going back to the community health CHR program, and we were talking about the vehicles that you use for the obvious, the stated reasons that you have here. How many vehicles does that program have?
I'm not sure.
Do they transport multiple? Is it?
I do know that they have one vehicle that has a wheelchair lift, and I'm very thankful for that, because I have clients who have to utilize that in order to get to appointments.
Sure. Are those emergency cases or non-emergency, or the transports?
No, those are not emergency.
Okay. No. Then is there a need for more vehicles, or they have enough to service?
I wouldn't be able to.
Living within the boundaries of the Osage Nation, that would seem to be a lot of elders with a lot of appointments that they needed to go to, and I just wondered if they know that that service is available to them. And then they take them to Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Bartlesville.
They're
wherever.
Able to transport to appointments all over, as long as they're a resident of Osage County. And at this time, as long as they're a member of the Osage Nation.
Okay. And then you said the CHR program even delivers food. They deliver?
No, that's the Elder Nutrition Program.
Well, it says here, CHR program, you said you even deliver food. Or
did
down
I
at the bottom.
If I did,
it implies that they deliver food. I was just wondering if you all.
Now, there are times where on the way back from an appointment, they may stop and let that elder go into the grocery store because maybe they don't have transportation. They're out for an appointment anyway, so they stop and get groceries on their way home.
Okay.
And that, I can't say enough about how important that is.
Sure.
They, not only that, but I've had reports from clients when they get back about how great it is that they're riding with someone who talks with them. Mm-hmm. There are transportation programs available in Osage County that are run by other programs that are federally funded, state funded, and they may be very inexpensive. They might only have to pay, you know, a few dollars one way for the trip and then a few dollars one way back, but there's not much interaction. So if your only social interaction that week was with this person that came and picked you up and took you to an appointment, how excited would you be to just have a conversation with them and
sure.
stop and get something for lunch on the way back? And they do that, and it's great.
Ms. Shadlow, the senior housing, I believe if I'm right, Puska's the only one that offers that. Correct.
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Yeah, so is there plans or is there hopes or dreams of offering senior housing to the other two major districts? Jody, do you know if there's?
Yes, we have a plan to offer some housing right now in the Fairfax area, and we're in the midst of finding a location. And because it's NAHASDA funds, as you know, that can't be in a flood
right.
area.
Right.
And we're kind of having a hard time identifying some property, but that's what we're doing right now.
I just know the residents in Hominy and in Fairfax, Greyhorse, that
I know two individuals, one from each district, that they're getting to that point to where they're going to need a place where they can be looked after. And they had both had the same thing, and they said the same, well, I'm not moving to Pawhuska. That's not where I'm from. I'm not going over there. So that's just, you know, how that is. So do you hear a lot of need for additional senior housing? Jody, do you all?
I think that's probably a need that will always exist.
Well, especially when there's none for the folks in Fairfax or none for the folks in Hominy. Everything seems to be, you know, to be here. And that's something that we'd like to eventually have a facility in. You know, all two of them, but I know it takes money, and it's hard to do. I have another question. The public health nursing. Do you keep statistics of all the participants that utilize this from all three districts, or do they, or?
I'm not sure if that program does. Mm-hmm. What I basically did to put this together was contacted all of the programs that I was aware of that might have services that were specific mm-hmm. to elders. Mm-hmm. But I'm familiar with the program, and I've taken some of the classes that she offers. I don't know what kind of data she keeps, though, okay. or is required, you know.
Okay, that's all I have.
I want to talk about transportation, but I also I had a comment that just left me about what we were just talking about, but anyway, it'll come back. So I want to talk about transportation. It's an issue, not really a problem, issue that we have under the CHRs as far as transportation is that they continue to have privacy issues. So they transport one patient at a time. That patient can't have as far as I know, they can't have a companion go with them. And it's handled a lot, the PRC uses it a lot at the clinic. And it's coordinated, so you have to call and set up appointments to get that done, and it has to be on a day when they have an opening, because I'm not sure how many cars they have either. Two, I think?
Two or three, but I'll find out.
Yeah, and so that's a limit. That's a limitation. So when we look at transportation, we're talking about health and social services and all those things. What I see, what I would like to see is us to work on a plan for just general transportation. Mm-hmm. So that 5 or 6, 15, however many the van will hold, can transport people to different destinations and put them on a route. Because mm-hmm. some of these people, like I said, I know we have a real problem with the clinic with elders not going to appointments and adults not going to appointments because they don't have reliable transportation to get there.
Right.
But they have members of the household that live there and they work and stuff, so they don't qualify. I mean, there's just a lot of things there. So I think if you take it outside the health realm, we could take a different aspect at it. Mm-hmm. That it's just a general transportation, making the loop to wherever it is, to the grocery stores or malls or wherever it is, and that they would know, I could catch this bus and it'll come back around, or there'll be another one coming back around, and maybe just start it with just the elderly. But it'll eventually be a thing where that is a problem for a lot of people. We don't have specialized services here. Our people who need those services have to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma City, or Barnesville. And sometimes they just can't get there. They don't have anyone to take them, they don't have reliable transportation, so I'd like to take that aspect with them. Mm-hmm. The other aspect I wanted to talk about is are the longer-term cares, the short-term disabilities, long-term disabilities, the ones who need assisted living. I guess that's always been on my mind forever, is assisted living. That transition period from when you can take care of yourself and when you're bedfast is a long stretch for a lot of people, and it really shortens their lives by not having that. And if you've ever been in an assisted living facility, or one that's usually they'll have just private residences, they're not really quite ready for assisted living, but it's an elder facility, and they'll have different wings or different floors and things, and they're fabulous, because there's always someone there if there's a problem. And I think it's part of a health issue, but it's really a housing, it's solved through housing. It's not really solved through health. And so, you know, looking at these future apartments or whatever it is, I wish they would also incorporate at least assisted living. I know maybe we can't do all, you know, everything in one, but that is a problem. We've had elders that are here and they've really lasted far beyond where they should have in a private apartment. Had all the amenities, had people to come and call for emergencies, but they just become bigger, greater and greater and greater because their need is greater and greater. And they really need someone who's stopping by on a regular basis or, you know, is there to administer meds, not just assist with meds, but actually administer them on time and things. So I think I think that's where we start looking, is we start looking at what funds are available to do these types of projects and start looking at the long-term care of our people. And I forget my other comment, but it'll come back to me. Thank you. That's all.
Ms. Rebord and then Ms. Lemon.
I just wanted to let you know that just last week we met with the PHN, Public Health Nurse Director, and we went over her FY18 annual report. We reviewed it. We've actually changed the way that we do that, and we have our compliance department assisting us. We have three really smart employees that work in compliance, and those three, along with our office, are reviewing with the directors our annual report, and it's the first time we've kind of actually functioned this way, and it's really been really good. We thought about it, and we actually initiated it and implemented it this year. And she just came in and reported her numbers, and I don't believe that it was reported by district, but I know that we were looking at the different ages, genders, and things of that nature. Definitely the first question is how many Osages served, how many Natives, and then things of that nature. So, but that's a good idea. We could break it down by district if that helps.
I think it does, but yeah.
Thank you, Ms.
Mr. Chair, I actually have several little things. I have something off what Ms. Paula talked about. I want to ask first, though, Paula, I have a question, if that's all right. You mentioned something about a privacy issue with the CHRs, and they can only transport one patient at a time. Is that something within their program that says that they can only do that, or could they change a policy where if someone was to sign the consent, knowing that they might have another passenger in there with them, so they could kill two birds with one stone instead of just one trip back and forth? Because I know that that's what other facilities do and have the ability to do, is that if you do have a ride with someone in the consent that you sign, that you're signing that you know that there's going to be other, you know, individuals there, and that you won't speak about your protected health information unless, you know, you feel comfortable. However, so that I don't know, but I know it's always been an issue because it's just always been an issue. Working from the clinic, that's been an issue, that not having enough vehicles, enough time slots, enough days,
and the privacy. And,
yeah.
Okay.
And so hopefully it's something we can overcome.
Okay. And also, when Congressman Tillman made a comment earlier about appointments, there are some restrictions in CHR that they cannot transport to certain appointments. And those are appointments that you have receive anesthesia that are same day, like operation or type appointments. I just know that because I, and a lot of us probably do know that, but I don't know if our listening audience knows that. And I don't know what other appointments they cannot transport to. Do you, Paula, by chance?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be interesting to find out if they would be willing to consider a policy change, if it's possible in CHR, so they could service more individuals. If two people were going to Oklahoma Heart, because trust me, we send a lot of people to Oklahoma Heart, and sometimes they have the same appointment date, you know? I think it would just be interesting just to ask the question, you know, and get some, you know, see what the possibilities would be if you did something like that. There is funding out there for transportation buses. It's through health clinics that I know of for health appointments. And I believe at one point in time, Paula, did this clinic up here not become a federally qualified health center? Manon was going towards that. And there's money through federally qualified health center, through HRSA, Health Resources Service Administration, and a lot of places out in D.C., that's where the funding comes from. And you can get vans, you can get buses. A contact would be the Fairfax Medical Facilities. They receive funding that way, and they bus people, and they have a certain radius that they can bus people in. And the last thing I had is a public health nurse. Is there any intent, is there any, hopefully, any intention to publish those statistics? Because to the website or anything that people could see, that is something that I think is interesting, and it gives a better glimpse at what, you know, we might get to see that, but our listening audience or our people, or just our people in general, might not get to see that. And it's just something that I feel that data is extremely important, and when you're running programs, and it's something that I think that at times we don't necessarily put out there enough, that this is the data that we collected, and this is our goal for next year. We've raised our goal for this particular, you know, by half a point, and we're gonna try to meet, and the national average is this, you know, and the Osage average is this.
Okay.
It would be interesting. I think I would like to see, I would definitely like to see some more data-driven type of care that we give folks, you know. I don't see that the clinic puts anything on our websites about their data, and so that's something else that I'd really like to see on what data they are tracking. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I want to commend our members of the Health Social Services Committee for your presence here and the questions you brought up, and thank Mrs. Shadlow for your presentation of a status report of what we do have at this point, and thank Mrs. Rebard for her attendance to representing executive, because we're all in this together to, again, make it better, if you will, for our elders and for our caregivers out there. And we're just trying to identify what we have and obviously what we can make better, and how we can do this collectively. And there's so many needs that we do have, both, I think, here on the reservation as well as outside. How can we meet those particular needs? Again, thank you one and all, and that concludes our time for this committee to meet. I will be calling another meeting, and we'll be asking the clinic people to come down and share with us what they have from the clinic point of view for our elders at our next meeting. So at this point, thank you to our social services division. If you can think of anything, well, please let us know. We shared a lot of phone numbers today, but obviously the one main phone number is at the switchboard, and that number is, Jody, what is that number?
918-287-5555.
Thank you. With that said,
motion to adjourn.
Motion's been made to adjourn. Those in favor signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are adjourned. Thank you.
I've been wanting to
No, that's okay. Get out there. I didn't get it. And they still get to it.